This is GlobeSports.com editor Darren New York here with hockey writer James Myrtle to discuss his big weekend piece on the decline of the Canadian goaltender in the NHL. I should mention you can also check it out at GlobeSports.com in all of its interactive glory. James, I guess we should start from the beginning. Can you talk a little bit about where the idea for this story came from?
We were talking actually in the summer about doing a piece on this kind of debate about goaltending in Canada. And you know, the things that spurred it were obviously the conversation over who was going to be Canada's goaltender in Sochi, which, you know, at the end of last season, at the end of the shortened lockout season, was a huge question mark given the way that Carey Price had finished his season and Roberto Luongo. And, I mean, there really wasn't an obvious choice to be the guy in Sochi. That was part of it. And then the other part of it was that the junior hockey leagues in Canada all made a move to ban import goaltenders from the league in response to the number of European goalies that were starting. I mean, if you look at WHL, OHL, QMJHL, something like 10 or 11 of the starting goalies last season were European guys, and they didn't like the way where that was going. They felt like that number was going to continue to increase. It was going to push Canadians out of the development role. So we looked at that, and the sports editor, Sean Arishe, said to me, you know, what's happening here? I mean, is there a way that we can write about this that would be interesting? Can we look at what some other places are doing that are causing this issue where we don't have the kind of goalies that we used to have? I mean, it used to be Canada went to the Olympics and it was Waugh or Brodeur or Belfour or Cujo, or, you know, there was all kinds of options that were at least as good at and usually better than what other countries had. And you know, I looked at the numbers. I looked at what countries looked like they were really dramatically improving the last few years. And Sweden was by far at the top of the list. I mean, they have dramatically improved. Sweden has not had hardly any impact goalies in the NHL prior to Henrik Lundqvist. I mean, there was Pelle Lindbergh way back with the Flyers, who died tragically in an accident. But then you've got Tommy Salo. Then you've got Johan Hedberg, who are kind of middling guys. And then Henrik Lundqvist, and then that's been about it. But the last couple of years, you can see all these young Swedish guys coming into the league, and I just thought that was a really good place to start the story. What has a country that has never had any much success in goal, what have they done to all of a sudden start producing NHL goalies like this?
So you hop on a plane for Stockholm for a look at that country's approach to developing goalies. What did you find?
Just that they had really taken a very systematic approach to developing goaltenders. They took the guy they thought was their version of Francois Allaire, their best goaltending coach in the country. His name, a guy named Thomas Magnusson. And they basically gave him the reins. They gave him the resources and said, we want to get better at goaltending. You're the smartest guy to do with goalies in our whole country. You've won all these, the version of the Stanley Cup in the Swedish Hockey League with Djurgården. Here you go. Fix what's wrong with goaltending, because, you know, Sweden at that point, people probably don't remember, but they were just doing terribly in international hockey. At the World Junior Tournament, they didn't win a medal for 11 years. And it's hard to imagine because, you know, Sweden's considered one of the four hockey powers, along with obviously Canada, USA, Russia. To not be able to win a medal in 11 years is unbelievable. And a big reason for that was the goaltending. I mean, Sweden just could not produce goaltenders. So in 2002, they hired Magnusson. They put him in charge of this. And he went about it in a very sort of academic, systemic way, in that he said the first thing we need to do is we need to train and hire as many goalie coaches as we can, and we need to start working with young goalies. You know, whether they're 8 years old or they're 16 years old, we need to give them as much instruction as we can, because until then in Sweden there wasn't really hardly any of that. And what they saw was that Finland was having a lot more success in goal than they were. Finland's about half the size, fewer hockey players, and all of a sudden Finland was winning all these World Junior medals, in large part because their goaltending had gotten so good. And Finland had went down this path probably 10 or 15 years earlier. So it's sort of a bit like a domino effect. Finland did it first, made huge strides, put six starters into the NHL, and Sweden followed suit.
And Magnusson's, you know, he is the godfather of Swedish goaltending now, right? There's even a book that has become sort of the roadmap for this whole movement. I'll let you pronounce it. I'll just stick with the goalie binder. But, you know, what is the thrust of the book and his philosophy?
Malvax Parman. I think that's how they say it. Swedish is a quite a language. You know, when I was there, you ride the subway and I had no idea what stop I was at, and you just get out wherever you thought maybe you were, because it's a tough one to to comprehend. But I mean, the book is actually pretty remarkable. I mean, it's huge. It's like 9 sections, and in the story I call it the Bible of Swedish goaltending, and it just has pretty much anything you would ever want to know about goaltending. I mean, it has technique, obviously. There's a lot of that, but there's all kinds of exercises to do with mental strength and how to get over a bad loss, how to get over a bad goal, how to sort of build your brain and your confidence to be an elite goaltender. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there. It's almost like sports psychology is in that book that they're teaching them. And if you think about it, that's what goalies probably need. I mean, it's such a hard position to play. It's such a hard position because you're under so much pressure. You make one mistake, your team could lose the entire game. And I think it takes a special person to be a goalie. And, you know, one of the things I thought when I was over there and I asked some people about is, you know, maybe Swedish people or Finnish people, maybe it's a position that's well-suited to their personality, you know, calm, able to deal with intense situations, able to take responsibility. And you know, some people in Stockholm agreed with that. I mean, they feel like that it's a position that they really like. It's one that they understand because it's a huge soccer country, and they understand the goaltender there as well. And it's become this thing, especially with Henrik Lundqvist has been a huge part of it as well, that every kid in Sweden that plays hockey wants to be a goalie. And so the book has allowed a lot of kids in remote regions in Sweden, they can just go on the website and download it and learn. If you want to learn, you've got this resource there, and you've probably got a goalie coach in your town as well that you can go work with for nominal cost.
I did notice the mental aspect of the book. You sent me that PDF, and obviously I didn't understand what I was reading. But just going by the pictures, you know, there's a picture of a goalie down on the butterfly, and they photoshopped a beach ball behind him in the net. You know, and then on the next page of the photo is the goalie sitting by himself on the bench. You know, and then the next page is him back at practice working on a specific technique. It's very obvious in the book, even if you can't understand the language, just how big the mental approach is taken there.
Yeah, I mean, there's like whole sections on, the one whole section is called Thinking Goalie, is basically how it translates. And it really gets into the psychology of the position and how, I mean, we always talk about goalies being weird or different or, I mean, I even remember when I was in high school and my friends were playing very high level hockey, and they always said goalies are weird. I mean, they're so much different than the other players. They're not big, and they're just different. I mean, like, the traits that they need to be good goalies are good reflexes or agility, flexibility. I mean, it's a lot different than what you need from like a big defenseman or whatever. I mean, it's almost like they're playing a different sport that is a small part of the sport that they're a part of. And what I think Finland and Sweden have done is they've recognized that it is a different sport. You have to teach it entirely differently. It really doesn't, like, a head coach of a hockey team doesn't have any insight into what that guy in the net is doing. And it's almost like he needs his own manual, his own coach, and his own ideas of how to be successful. And that's, I think, part of why this has been successful for them.
Can you explain a little bit how the club system works in Sweden and at what age a young goalie might actually start getting personalized coaching under this system?
Really, really young. I mean, you know, they might only be getting instruction from, an 18 or a 20-year-old guy that's volunteering at the club. But, you know, essentially the way the club system works, it's kind of, from what I understand, it's like the soccer system in Europe as well. Basically, there are these big sport club organizations, and the one that I went to when I was in Stockholm was called AIK. They play in the Swedish Hockey League in the top division, but they also have lower division teams. They have junior teams. They have a lot of kids hockey teams. And so every sport club organization has all of these different hockey teams that go all the way. It would be almost like the Toronto Maple Leafs running a huge minor hockey organization that went all the way from 5-year-olds to elite junior teams, like basically the equivalent of a major junior team in Canada, to professional teams. And the development system and the people that work in that system, they're working together. And, you know, the meeting that I talk about in the story at AIK was all of the goalie coaches in the whole club structure all coming together as they do every month and talking about goaltending. So you've got a couple guys that are professional. You've got a guy that works with the junior team. And then you've got some volunteer people that work with the women's teams or that work with the young kids teams. And usually those are former goaltenders, young former goaltenders that are trying to get into this and trying to be goalie coaches for a living. So it's a vastly different system than we have in North America. And it makes it pretty easy for the Swedish Ice Hockey Federation to say, okay, they just go to the head of all the clubs and say, at youth hockey level, we're going to start doing this with goalies. We need your help in implementing this. I mean, that would be much, much harder to do in Canada, given there's no kind of, it's not like you can just go to 12 or 14 clubs and say, we're doing this now. Canada's got so many different cities. It's so big geographically and has so many different minor hockey organizations that it's just much more challenging for them to do something like that.
That was going to be my next question is, you know, how do we compare that approach to, you know, what a young goaltender gets in Canada in terms of instruction and support? What is the system like in Canada right now? Where are we failing?
Well, I've talked to a few Canadian NHL goalies about this. You know, I talked to James Reimer, Justin Peters, who plays in Carolina, a couple other guys, and they said that it's not uncommon for a goalie in Canada to get not really any goalie coaching until they make major junior. So, you know, James Reimer didn't have a goalie coach at all until he was 17 years old. And, you know, he grew up in a small town, and his family didn't have a ton of money to spend on goalie coaching. But essentially, to answer your question, I mean, the goalie coaching they get is what they pay for. I mean, if you're a kid in minor hockey, in most Canadian organizations, there's not a goalie coach. There's no volunteer goalie coaches there for you to work for. There are some, but it's not anywhere near as organized or as prevalent as it is in some of the other countries overseas that we're talking about. So I think if we want to talk about where we're failing them, I mean, if a kid isn't getting any kind of personalized instruction on how to be a goalie until he's 16 or 17, that's too late, you know, and you're missing prime development years when you could be working with them when they're 10 and 11 and 12 years old. And too often what I think is happening in Canada is the goalies are just kind of there to be targets for the other players. We've got all these coaches working with the defensemen and the forwards, obviously, to develop strategy for how to play the game. But the goaltender is kind of left on his own, and it's sort of left up to him and his parents to spend the money, to spend $700, $800 a week in the summer to get the kind of personalized training that they need. And, you know, one of the things that's happening in Canada that's not happening elsewhere is that, well, it's happening in the U.S. obviously as well, but the onus really falls on the family to pay for their child to be a goalie, and the only ones that can afford that are obviously relatively well-off families. So that's the tough thing, is that maybe you're not getting the kind of the number of kids trying out to be goalie, trying the position and seeing if they like it and if they want to do it, as you are in other countries like Sweden, where they're making the equipment available, they're making the instruction available, they're rotating kids through to try being a goalie. Maybe that definitely seems like something that Canada needs to look at doing.
What else is Hockey Canada doing to try to reverse this trend, and how long do you think it will take for us to get a feel for if we're moving in a better direction?
You know, one of the things they're doing is they're introducing their own goalie coaching program. That's going to come in the spring. I get the sense that Hockey Canada is well aware that this is an issue, that they need to work on this. They're starting to put resources into it, and they're starting to try and build something like they've got this goaltender advisory panel that they've got a bunch of former NHL goalies on there. Sean Burke's working with Hockey Canada now. They're coming together, and they're going to try and get recommendations from them, and they're going to try and use them as a resource the way Sweden did with Magnuson, and hopefully improve goalie development that way. But it's almost like Canada is only just now really starting on the goalie issue. And, you know, how long is it going to take for it to show up? I mean, at the NHL level, you don't see goalies really make an impact until their early 20s. So, you know, if Hockey Canada makes an impact now on kids that are 12 and 13 and 14, you know, maybe we'll see this in 7 or 8 years at the NHL level. But it's going to be a long way to go. And, you know, I'm sure you know, and a lot of Canadian hockey fans know, I mean, at the World Juniors every year, it seems like that Canada's had a really tough time choosing who the goaltender is going to be. And hasn't had the best goaltender in the tournament since 2008, and that was Steve Mason, who's had a very mixed NHL career. I think this is going to be a problem for quite a while longer, and I think what Sweden has done hasn't quite shown up in the NHL yet. I mean, the guys are just now starting to come over. This trend could definitely continue for the next 3 or 4 years with more and more Swedish and Finnish guys coming into the NHL.
what's interesting to me, you know, I was thinking about this after I read a draft of your story, was for so many years at the world junior level, the answer from Canada has seemed to be, well, this is just cyclical. And at some point, the next great goaltender's coming. He's just going to magically appear from somewhere. You know, and it's not that we're doing anything wrong. It's just, you know, over time, eventually someone will come back again. After reading this story, you know, I kind of get the feeling that maybe it's more systemic than we've addressed in the past.
Yeah. I mean, you look at what Sweden's done and the resources they put directly into goaltending and the number of people they have on staff on, you know, the Swedish Ice Hockey Association is not a very big place. It's not a lot of people working there, but they've really built a goalie department there, which didn't exist before 2002. And it's made a huge impact. And they're having summits every year with all the goalie coaches in the country. They've got semi-pro and professional goalie coaches. I believe they've got a couple hundred of them in the country now. There's a few NHL players that their parents, their fathers are goalie coaches. You know, Eddie Lack in the story, his dad was a goalie coach. Carl Gunnarsson, defenseman for the Toronto Maple Leafs, his dad's a goalie coach. It's becoming a thing that you become if you're involved in hockey and in Sweden. You know, maybe you played maybe you played junior when you were younger or whatever, and now you want to get back into it. They've made goaltending a real, real focus. And you talk about systemic. I mean, they've planned for this. They've built an education program around it, and they've almost created a side stream, if you want to call it, to developing goalies that's entirely separate from skaters. And I think that's why it's worked. And I think that Canada needs to entirely rethink how they treat goalies in the minor hockey system.
We've got some really great interactives with the story that show how Canadian starters have been losing ground to their American and European counterparts in terms of playing time and save percentage in the NHL. Can you just talk a little bit about what your research found?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, you know, you go back the pre-Dominic Hasek days, you know, the early 90s, there were no European guys playing goal in the NHL. I mean, it was Canadians and Americans. And you know, for 10 years from when Patrick Waugh dominated in 86 until 1996, for those 10 years, 80% of the goalies, 80% of the minutes played in the NHL were Canadian goalies. So 80% is incredibly high. That's much higher than what it was for skaters as well. And, you know, I think that's the thing that some people miss is they think, well, you know, there are fewer Canadians now than there were 20 years ago at every position. But what's happened in goal is that drop-off has never stopped. It's continued even up until last season. Last season, only Canadian goalies only played 37% of the minutes, which is by far the lowest that it's ever been. It looks like it's going to come up a little bit this year, but 37% is very, very low. And the difference is that you go back 11 or 12 years in the NHL, and the presence of Finland and Sweden in goal was basically just Tommy Salo. I mean, he was the only guy from Finland or Sweden. Well, now, I mean, how many Finnish or Swedish goalies can you name in the NHL now? Their presence is up well over, I mean, it's over 25%. It's going to be approaching 30% here soon. So they've gone from Tommy Salo, which is, what, you know, 2%, to close to 30% in a very short amount of time. And all of that drop-off has been Canada. You know, Canada's gone from 65 down to 37 in a very, very short time frame. And it's entirely due to two small countries, you know, in Northern Europe. So it's pretty remarkable. And one of the things I talked about in the story is that if this trend continues, that Sweden and Finland combined could soon have more goalies than Canada. And that's got to be a real concern if that's the case.
Last one, James. You know, you've got to see it firsthand, and you've done a lot of, obviously, writing and thinking and studying the Swedish approach. I wonder if there's one element of it that really stands out for you as the key thing that Hockey Canada and, you know, goaltending coaches across the country should really look to adopt. What's the one thing that can really get us started down the right path?
I think what they did really well is that the club system dedicated ice time entirely to goalies. You know, and every week there was a goalie practice. So if you're a goalie, whether you're 7 years old or you're 17, you could go on this Monday night. The ice was for the goalies. The instructors there were for the goalies. And it was just a real focus on the position and what they need to learn. And if you think about it, it doesn't make a lot of sense for the goalies in a traditional minor hockey sense. You know, when I played minor hockey, the goalies were there just kind of on their own. They didn't get any kind of instruction. And we were being put through drills and everything around them. That time would be better spent if we can give them some kind of ice time or some kind of separate training and just start thinking about them as different entities than the rest of their teams. Because, like I said, I mean, it's almost like they're playing a different sport entirely. What they need to know and what they need to learn at a young age has nothing to do with what everyone else on the ice is doing. And I think that that's where Canada's falling short in a lot of areas.
All right, well, it's a great story and a really interesting topic that with the World Juniors coming up in Sochi, certainly going to be front of mind for many hockey fans. Thanks for doing this, James.
Yeah, thanks, Darren.